pleased and distraught, pleased to be with James Stewart, who has written Tangled Webs. He's talking about false statements, not lies, because
false statements are a crime under the criminal code. They include perjury, a lie told under oath, and false statements told to an investigative body of the U.S. government. Lies, we all know, occupy a very broad continuum from criminal lying, which is what I'm writing about, to very serious lying with devastating consequences, all the way, let's face it, to the innocuous white lie.
And it's important to say all of these people, every single one of them, had a constitutional alternative.
Yes.
It's called?
The Fifth Amendment. No United States citizen ever has to tell a lie under oath. You can simply say, I'm not going to answer that question. I exercise my right under the Fifth Amendment. They all could have done this.
So they have real options. They choose.
In that context, there is, early on, when this came up, Bush said, nobody in the White House did anything. If they did, we'll fire them.
Right.
That's contradictory. He asserted out mm-hmm. front, one of the things that I found... Mm-hmm. And it goes to the underlying, the broad cultural problems that we're faced with. The first thing he asserts in Washington, which is just awash in people leaking, it's the way business is done. He asserts with virtually no evidence than his say-so, his faith story, if mm-hmm. you will, that no one in this administration did that, which was implausible on his face. And then he undercuts what he just said by saying, and of course, whoever did, if anybody did, we'll fire them.
And then he doesn't.
Which is it? And the initial statement was obviously implausible. But again, it goes to the reflexive. And a lot of this seems to be cultural. You know, we watch too many Perry Masons or not enough Perry Masons. And I think... I sort of started paying serious attention during the Watergate hearings, mm-hmm. and it's when we first started to learn how to parse words in neat little pieces so we could assert, as Clinton did, argue about the meaning of is. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of this seems to be profoundly embedded. We've come to expect it.
And tolerate it.
And I say all that in the context of what Bush had said. Nobody notices that. Nobody noticed it at the time. And it seems that we have sort of become inured to this, to the kinds of things you're talking about. That's devastating. You said that will kill civilization.
It's appalling. And I was very disappointed as I got into the story with President Bush's conduct. And I had no axe to grind against him. In fact, if anything, I felt he'd probably been unfairly persecuted by the press. I mean, how it was so bad. I mean, maybe there was another side of the story. But he did pledge to the American people he wouldn't tolerate leaking a national security breach like this. And one of the revelations in my book is that Karl Rove, his top assistant and dear friend, who was never indicted in this scandal, there was plenty of evidence. He came so close to being indicted. But the prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, chose not to. And instead, he sent a letter to President Bush summarizing the confidential testimony, the serious allegations, the evidence against Karl Rove that, A, he had breached the security by leaking the name, and then, secondly, he had not been truthful about it. And specifically, he had not been truthful to President Bush when he asked him point blank if he was a source for the column. And yet, he never heard a reply from that. Bush did nothing. After pledging to the American people he wouldn't tolerate this behavior, it's exactly what he did.
And it was virtually proven to him exactly what he had said was the case.
This was a very, very serious step for the special counsel to take. And then, again, adding even more lies on top of that were told, so many Republicans piled on to this, attacked not Bush, not Libby, not Rove, but the special counsel, because they said, oh, he's an attack dog, he's obviously partisan, even though he's not even registered in either party, he's overzealous. If there's any criticism that can be leveled against him, is that he was not zealous enough. He could easily have gotten an indictment against both Karl Rove in the White House and Richard Armitage in the State Department.
So why didn't he?
I understand why he didn't. It was... Well, it's a complicated story. I think you see it in the pages of the book. In the end, it was a judgment call. The case against Libby was overwhelming. The case against Rove and Armitage were a little more ambiguous, and I will say on behalf of both of them that unlike Libby, they corrected their testimony.
Now, and they had lied.
In my view, they had lied. But nevertheless, when the evidence surfaced that they had lied, their lawyers and they themselves went to the special counsel and said, okay, I'll go back. I made a mistake. I want to correct the record. That didn't help Doug Fanuel. He changed his story and corrected the record. He had to plead guilty to a crime. But nevertheless, they got away with it, which is a double standard that I think is also troubling.
Well, I think that's
better than Libby did.
That's an important step along the way to say, wait a minute, isn't justice blind? Doesn't it apply equally to everybody?
Well, look, I love that ideal that we are a nation in which all are equal before the law. And I thank God, at least I hope we're still aspiring to it. But have we gotten there or even close to it? Well, you can't read this book and feel that everyone is treated equally. The less powerful, the less wealthy, they get the book thrown at them. Celebrated professional athletes. I mean, you think Barry Bonds is the only person who lied in that steroid investigation? That's probably a bad metaphor, but that's a World Series of lying. Almost every professional athlete, baseball, track, football, called before the grand jury, immunized, no crime at all unless they lied. And then many of them subsequently recanted and finally, under threat of prosecution, told the truth. And they... No consequences whatsoever. They're back playing. They didn't get anything thrown at them. Doug Fanuel, a 26-year-old, low-paid assistant to a stockbroker just hoping to make his start on Wall Street, he changes his story. First, they say he has to plead guilty to two felonies, which would almost certainly have involved a jail term. And ultimately, he still had to plead to a misdemeanor and be banned from the securities industry for life, essentially for telling the truth.
He didn't. I mean, my understanding is it wasn't so much an overt commission as he did not tell everything. He didn't do what all these other people did, which was say something was the case when it was not in fact the case. He just didn't say anything.
He omitted critical information. And actually, when you see the crime of false statement, it says misstatement, a deliberate misstatement, or a material omission of a relevant fact. So it is a
crime. So he was guilty.
To withhold it. But I think we can all agree that in the scheme of bad behavior, fabricating and falsifying something is one thing, and simply withholding a complete account is lesser on the scale. But nevertheless, he had to pay the price.
There is something in this book. We went past it earlier on, and I went past it 8 or 10 times before it finally soaked in. This notion of obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's become a phrase. We say obstruction of justice, right? And we hear it so much that it's. And I don't think most of us. And I don't. Yeah, it's a crime, but there are a whole lot of crimes. Obstructing justice is a crime at a different level. That goes. I mean, it's a metaphysical crime. It goes to the absolute foundation, and you make this point fairly consistently, and that's what helped me finally see it. It goes to, you simply cannot have a community, you can't have a society, you can't have a political entity, you can't have a civilization, and you certainly can't have governments if people routinely or occasionally even obstruct justice.
You can have them, but they're going to be awful.
They're going to be unjust, and the...
Right.
What do people eventually do in an unjust society? You see, they revolt. They're willing to give up their lives to try to achieve a just society, thank goodness. We revolted, to found this country against what we believe to be an unjust society. And you see this, the effect of perjury in laws, what it does to the judicial system. It brings it to its knees. Again, I mentioned there was so much lying in the steroids investigation. Barry Bonds lied before the grand jury in 2003. He kept taking the steroids. He went on to hit more home runs. He won the home run crown, which was taken away from Hank Aaron and given to him. He was finally brought to trial a few weeks ago, more than 8 years after the alleged false statements. Why
and several
is that?
Billion dollars.
And many millions of dollars of our taxpayer money. And why is that? Because all the witnesses in the case were lying. You cannot bring any kind of a case when everyone is giving false testimony or refusing to testify. That case, if Greg Anderson, his trainer, had given truthful testimony, that case would have been over in 6 weeks, not 8.5 years.
Well, and the last time I looked, Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, had decided that even after the conviction, the record stands. Now, we're in Atlanta. We're a little partial to Hank Aaron, but that's beside the point in this context. That impresses me as one outrageous, given the conviction. And Major League Baseball is not constrained by justice.
or much of anything else.
Well, they don't have to follow the rules. I mean, they didn't have to wait till then. I mean, the behavior was so manifestly egregious that they could have at any time. And instead, today, as far as I know, the record still stands.
He cheated. Barry Bonds cheated. He lied about it. And he was convicted of obstruction of justice. And Bud Selig said that he said, quote, "There's not enough evidence to take the crown away
to give it back to an honorable man."
Yes, exactly.
Who had earned it.
I know. And people say, oh, well, it's just sports. You know, first of all, sports is an unbelievably important metaphor that young people look to. And secondly,
that's how we justify it most of the time.
We do. And also, talk about unjust. People say, oh, everybody's taking steroids. No, everyone was not taking steroids. The home run crown holder might have been taking steroids. Hank Aaron didn't take steroids. To let him keep it is not only unjust in that Barry Bonds get it, it's committing an injustice to the person who deserves it. And I think that infuriates fair-minded people.
We're going to be back in a minute with James Stewart, who brings fair-mindedness together in four incredibly breathtaking examples, entangled webs, how false statements, a crime, are undermining America, from Martha Stewart to Bernie Madoff. Be with us when we come back.